Okay, we are in Exodus 8:8. First, Reagan had a question last week. So we had talked about how when Moses and, well, Aaron threw down the staff and it became a serpent, right? Do we remember? We had talked about how that word for serpent isn't just your normal word for snake. It's the word for dragon, okay? Or sea monster. It's the same word that was used in Genesis 1 when God says, when he creates the birds and the fish of the sea, it says also in the sea monsters, okay? The idea being these great creatures that other cultures worship as gods, God has just created them. They're not divine in any sense of the imagination. They are just created beings. So Reagan's question was that when the magicians threw down their staffs and it became they became snakes, serpents, what was that word in the Hebrew? And I didn't know. So it's the same word. It's the same word for dragon, which is also, we talked about, a word very closely related to Leviathan in Job. Okay, so it's the same word. I looked it up. Okay? So last week, we did the second part of chapter 7. So the rods become serpents, and Aaron's rod eats all the other serpents, and then we did the first and started the second plague. Okay, so the first plague, water turned to blood. Remember, we talked about the plagues come in three triads. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, plus a bonus, big plague, 10. Okay, do you remember 1, 2, 3, what does it show God's sovereignty over, the first three plagues? Water, right? So the first plague, God turns water, the Nile, into blood, water into blood. And then remember, we said we also know when each new set of plagues starts because what happens? There's a phrase that's always repeated. Moses confronts Pharaoh when? In the morning. Okay, so for plague 1, 4, and 7, it always says in the morning. For none of the other plagues does it say that. So it's it indicates the start of a new trio of plagues. Okay? Yes.
A day?
What?
Like 1, 2, 3, they don't all happen on the same day.
No. Right, no. So, because if you look at chapter 7, verse 25, it says 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. Then, chapter 8, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses. Okay, so we know at least that the first plague lasted 7 days. Okay, the water to blood. One commentator I read, he thinks that all the plagues, unless otherwise stated, lasted 7 days because this is the first plague and it's kind of like Moses setting up the pattern. But we don't know that for sure because the Bible, I mean, it doesn't say it. We know the darkness lasts for 3 days because it specifically says that. But the other ones, there is no time frame given. Okay. But if some of these things did last for a full week, that would be pretty intense. Okay, but we know at least the first plague lasted a week. So it's not like one morning and then plagues 1, 2, 3, and then the next morning plagues 4, 5, 6. It's just Moses' way of indicating this is a new set of plagues. Okay, when Moses confronts Pharaoh in the morning. Okay, then we just started plague 2 because I hadn't gotten all my study done. And we have frogs. And remember, we have frogs everywhere. They're coming out of the Nile, and you're sleeping on them. They're getting in all your food. They're getting in all your cookware. Gross, gross, gross. Okay? But remember, the magicians are able to do this one as well. So they did the rod into serpents. They did the water into blood, and they produce more frogs, which I think is just kind of funny because they just add to the problem. They don't help the problem at all. So they don't need more frogs. But remember, whenever it says the magicians did the same, okay, remember that the same, what is it literally?
Similar.
Okay. So they do something that looks like what Moses and Aaron do, but it is nowhere near the extent of what they do. I mean, Moses and Aaron turn the entire, well, God does it, right? Not them, but the entire Nile into blood, and they turn a cup of water into blood. You know, Moses and Aaron produce all these frogs that are everywhere in everyone's houses, and the magicians can conjure up a couple of frogs.
Were the frogs in the Jews?
Yes, so we talked about this last time too. There's disagreement. Some think that they are. The first couple plagues do happen to the Israelites as well. And some think that because the Israelites are exempt from a majority of the plagues, that they are therefore exempt from all of them. Because the point of the plagues was to show Egypt who is truly God and to judge Egypt, not Israel. Right, but remember, do they believe? No. And do they ever really believe that generation? Sadly, no. They see all God's great works, and the majority of them do not believe. And that's why God kills them all in the wilderness. They might have, right.
And then everybody
had to dig. That's right. They might have had to dig for that water. I mean, the Bible doesn't say, but they might have had to dig to get water that's not blood and then turn that water into blood. Okay, and we remember we said the water to blood plague probably didn't really affect Pharaoh all that much, because what would he have done to get water? Send someone else to dig. So really, it didn't inconvenience Pharaoh all that much. But the frogs, right, when Moses talks about the frogs, if you look at chapter 8, verse 3, it says, the Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and go into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed, right? So Moses is like, maybe you got off on plague one. You specifically, your people were miserable, but you, Pharaoh yourself, might have gotten away with it. But this one, they're even going to be in your bed, Pharaoh. You're even going to have to sleep with frogs, not just the average Joe Schmo. Okay.
At the bottom of 4, it says, and on all your servants. So
yes.
The servants have been Hebrews, right?
So that's where some people say that because it says, and your servants, that it included the Israelites as well. But then other people say that no, because they were exempt, then they're exempt from all of them.
Yours says all your officials.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. And then that would make it sound like it's more just the Egyptians.
Right.
Yep. Yep. So that's why there's discussion. I would probably lean more. I would lean more towards that they were probably exempt from all of them, just because the purpose of the plagues is for Pharaoh and for Egypt, not necessarily for Israel. Right. The three signs God gave Moses were for Israel, but now the plagues, they're for Egypt, not for Israel. Okay, even though Israel doesn't believe. Any other questions from last week? Okay, so we'll start. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I just thought of it. When you said that the servants dug for water?
Yes, for Pharaoh.
Water turned to blood as soon as it hit the air?
No, because they had, okay, because the water, the Nile turning to blood lasted 7 days. Okay, you're all going to die if you can't get water. So they had to be able to get something that was drinkable, some water. And it says that they dug for it, assuming that when they dig down, they can reach water that's not turned to blood, right? And remember, we also said that if you remember Isaac, he was constantly digging wells in Israel, right? He dug well after well after well. That's basically all we know about Isaac, is that he dug wells, okay? The Egyptians had never had to dig a well before, because the Nile produces so much water. Water is so plentiful in the Nile, and that's why they all live along the Nile. Getting water was super easy, and now they were having to do hard work that they had never done before. And we talked about that it was God's retaliation on the Egyptians for making them do what? Okay, throwing the babies in the Nile and?
The midwives.
Taking away the straw and making them work so much harder to make the bricks. Okay, so now God takes away their water and makes them work really hard to get water. Okay, we talked about the frogs,
right?
Is retaliation for what Pharaoh did to the midwives, a previous Pharaoh, right? Because the frog represents, I think, a Heket. Or something like that. And she was the goddess of midwives, or the goddess of childbirth. And she was represented by a frog. Okay. All right. Can someone read for me chapter 8, verse 8 through 15?
Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, "Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Moses said to Pharaoh, "Be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile." And he said, "Tomorrow," Moses said, "but it is as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile." So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs, as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Even that's gross. Even the relief from the plague is gross. Yes. Okay, so Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron, right? Remember we had talked about last time, we don't know how the first plague went away. And we talked about in chapter 7, verse 23, it says Pharaoh turned and went into his house with no concern even for this. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how it didn't even enter his heart. He just didn't even care a little bit, right? This plague got to him a little more, right? There's frogs in his bed. There's frogs contaminating his food. So he actually sends for Moses, right? To be like, let's get rid of this thing. Let's do what we need to do to get the frogs gone. Okay? So he asks Moses and Aaron to entreat the Lord, right? Entreat the Lord means to pray. So Pharaoh is already starting to admit that Yahweh is superior, right? Entreat, and notice, the Lord, that Lord is on all caps. Okay, so Pharaoh, we're only on plague two, right? And Pharaoh is already admitting, one, that Yahweh is real, right? Because before he didn't even think he was real. And now he's saying, hey, Moses and Aaron, can you please pray for me? Can you ask God to get rid of the frogs? Okay, so he is already starting to admit that Yahweh is superior. Okay. He is already breaking a little bit. You can see it. Well, he's already asking for prayer, and he's already admitting that Yahweh is real and that, you know, it's Yahweh that has the power to get rid of the frogs, not his magicians, not his Egyptian gods. Yahweh is, okay? So Pharaoh's already starting to break, and we're only on plague number two. All right, we know there's eight more to come after this. So Pharaoh is going to need some strengthening and some hardening to last the rest of the plagues, to continue to resist. So entreat the Lord that he remove the frogs from me and from my people. Notice he asked specifically for himself. So there was something about this plague that got to him specifically. Okay, maybe he hates frogs. I don't know. But maybe it was the first plague didn't really affect him, and now this second plague really, you know, is in his daily life, and he realizes how bad it is. Okay. He says, and I will let the people go. Okay, remember we've talked about this and we're going to keep talking about it. That I is emphatic in the Hebrew, meaning that pronoun is actually there in the Hebrew. Okay, pronouns are usually implied and not specifically stated in the Hebrew. So when they're specifically stated, it's emphatic, like I myself, I have the power, I will do it, right? So he's starting to admit that Yahweh has power, but he still thinks he has power over the Israelites. I will let the people go. Okay? And what does he say? I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. What had Moses asked? That they serve him. And what's that word for serve? Slave. That they will be my slaves. Does Pharaoh use that word? Nope. I have control over the Israelites. I will let them go and they do their little religious ceremony to sacrifice.
Do you think that they're going to come back?
Yes. Well, so here it's basically like Pharaoh is trying to see how little he can give up and still get what he wants, right? He's not broken to the point where he's ready to get rid of the Israelites and send them out, right? He's going to give, it's like a bargaining game for Pharaoh, right? Okay, I'll give you a little bit. What are you going to give me back? Okay, you ask for this much, but in a bargaining game, you know, you meet somewhere in the middle. Well, that's not really how bargaining works with God, but Pharaoh thinks it is. Okay, so he's going to give just a little bit. That, okay, I'll let your people go and they can offer a sacrifice. They can do their little religious thing that they need to do. Okay? Moses, verse 9. Moses said to Pharaoh, "The honor is yours to tell me. When shall I entreat for you and your servants and your people that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may be left only in the Nile?" Okay, in Hebrew, the word for honor, or your version had something different, Britt. Verse 9. The pleasure or something like that.
In the very beginning?
Yeah.
Please to command.
Yes, it's like, you're pleased to command me. Mm-hmm. So basically, Moses is saying, Pharaoh, you get to tell me when you want to be done with this plague. Okay. Yes, you make the choice. Okay, well, whatever that word is, mine is honor. But in the Hebrew, that word sounds like the word for Pharaoh. The words are sound similar. They're not the same word, but they sound similar. Okay? So Moses is doing a word play, right? Pharaoh, you still think it's all about you. You think you have the choice. You think you have the honor. Well, God will let you do it this time. You choose when this plague goes, because you still think it's all about you. Okay, so Moses is being a little sarcastic here with Pharaoh. Oh, they're having a grand old time back there. Okay. Pharaoh, you know, like we said, he still thinks it's all about him, and he's still trying to steal God's glory. He's willing to admit Yahweh is real and Yahweh is powerful, but Pharaoh still thinks that he is powerful and he has control as well. So God is going to allow Pharaoh to pick the time when the frogs go. And this is going to do a couple things for Pharaoh. One, it's going to show that it truly is God. This is truly God acting. It's not his Egyptian God doing something. It's not coincidence. You know, oh, you know, they just happen to disappear. No, Pharaoh gets to name the time, and that's exactly when it's going to happen. Okay, to prove that God is real and he is sovereign and he is in control. Okay, so theoretically, Pharaoh should know that, wow, this God's really powerful, right? Maybe I should give in, but he's not going to. We know he's not going to. Okay, and Moses says some of the frogs were going to be left in the Nile, right? We're not going to get rid of all the frogs because the frogs are natural, right? So, but there's just going to be a normal amount in the Nile, and all the rest of the excess that God created are going to die. Okay? So, verse 10, Pharaoh says, "Tomorrow." So Moses says, "May it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord your God." Okay? So, Moses gives, Pharaoh says, "Tomorrow," gives Moses time to pray, right? Because remember back in verse 8, he'd asked Moses to pray for him. To ask God. Okay, so it gives, by saying tomorrow instead of right this second, right, Moses has time to pray. And it's also going to be a new day, and it'll be obvious that the frogs are gone. It's clear. They're no more. They're dead and dying. Okay. What's the point? We're going to see this all throughout the plagues. The point of the plagues is to, so that Egypt will know that there is no one like Yahweh our God. So this is the whole point, to show Pharaoh that he is not God, that God is God, and how powerful God really is, that there is no other God. Okay. Verse 12 through 15, then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord. Okay, do we remember this word cried? When the Israelites cried out the first time, do we remember in chapter 2? Were they crying out? What?
Crying out to Pharaoh.
Oh, they did cry out to Pharaoh later, but their first cry. Yes, they, right. Not specifically God. They were just crying out in agony and pain. Then, when they cry out to someone, who do they cry out to?
Pharaoh,
right? Because Pharaoh had the immediate power over them, and in their view, God had just made things worse by sending Moses and Aaron to confront Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh makes it terrible for them. Okay, so finally we have someone crying out to God. Now granted, it's Moses, right? God's chosen one. But remember, Moses didn't believe either. Okay, so we see through the plagues Moses grow in his belief. Not explicitly, doesn't say that, right? But implicitly. Okay, so here Moses is crying out to God. Finally, we got the right formula. Okay, the Israelites crying out to God. At least it's Moses crying out to Yahweh. Concerning the frogs which he had inflicted on Pharaoh, verse 13, Yahweh did according to the word of Moses. Okay, we're going to see this over and over in the plagues. Whatever God says, it happens. And it happens exactly as he says it's going to happen. This is the nature of revelation. Right? Whatever God says is. Okay, it's going to be a huge contrast to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh says a whole bunch of stuff. And then what happens? Does what Pharaoh say happen? Does he do? Does he eat? Does he even do what he says?
No.
No. Right. That's right. So he keeps changing his mind. So we have a contrast between Moses and God and Pharaoh. Whatever Moses and God and Moses, because he's saying what God says, right? So whatever God says happens, whatever Pharaoh says, you don't trust in it. Okay. And Moses is going to call him out on it too.
So there must have been a short period of time between the plagues after they get cleaned up that Pharaoh kind of goes back to, I'm not letting them go, you know, because now it's okay.
Right.
And then it starts again. And then.
Right.
So
now,
some kind of relief in there, I would think. Because if it was constant, you would think that he would just be done.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't give us a time frame how if there is time between the plagues. We just know that once there is relief, you know, if it's tomorrow and in the morning all the frogs are dead, maybe all he needs is that one day to harden his heart.
Have all this foul smelling stuff sitting around too, so it really doesn't end. It's just kind of like
right
there. And
that's right.
It's not like the trash trucks come along, clean it all up, and then we get another one.
But what's that matter to
Pharaoh? Right. Right, because we see in Plague 1, he doesn't care about his people to begin with.
Well, that's the fault.
Right.
He's got people to clean the palace.
Make it smell pretty.
I mean, this is just hard to imagine when you study it like that.
Or he's just that piles of frogs.
Psalm 105, did you see Psalm 105 through the line?
I didn't look at it, but I know it's...
It gives us some more information. This is the 30. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies.
Right.
So the flies, I took that to mean that the flies came after frogs. The dead frogs and the flies.
Right. Well, we get the
response to death. You get the flies on them.
Well, we get the mosquitoes next.
Mosquitoes or lice or whatever.
Yeah, and then...
That's actually in the next...
Yeah.
So the flies, I'm guessing the flies, just like I said, a normal process.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, verse 13, Yahweh did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them in heaps, and the land became foul. Okay? Remember, where was the first time that the land became foul?
Is that where the officials accused Moses of making
Yes. Okay. So the Israelite leaders complained to Moses and Aaron that you have made us odious, or you have made us foul in the sight of Pharaoh, right? Okay, so this is what it all ties back to. But in Plague 1, what happened to the land? It became foul. Why?
The fish died.
Okay, so all the fish die, and the country stinks. Okay, then we get frogs. Now the frogs die, and the country stinks. Okay, so you just have one nasty land. Okay. What'd you say?
Earlier before, I'm like, well, he's got people in the palace to make it smell better. And
yeah.
I'm like,
okay, it doesn't have a problem. Maybe not. Okay, so it's just, so like somebody said before, the plague is awful and the relief from the plague is awful. There's nothing good about any of this. Okay? Verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, okay, there are dead, rotting frogs. It stinks, but at least I can wipe them off my bed and don't have to sleep on them. He hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Okay, this word hardened is the word for heavy or glory. Okay, so Pharaoh refuses to confess that it is Yahweh who deserves and gets the glory. He still wants the glory and control for himself. And remember, almost every time I think it says he hardened his heart, it says as the Lord had said. This is all, Pharaoh doesn't know it, but he's doing exactly the will of the Lord. Okay, he and God are working together and he doesn't even know it. So his heart is hardened and he's not going to even, That's right. That's right. Okay, questions on the frogs? All right, so this is plague number 3, and this is going to be gnats or mosquitoes. Exodus 8, 16 through 19, if someone can read that for me.
Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats through all the land of Egypt. They did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried with their secret art to bring forth gnats, but they could not, so there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said.
Okay, so this is the last plague in the first 3. Okay, and I don't know if you remember, but from our overview of the 10 plagues, the last plague of each 3 is directed directly at Pharaoh or man. Okay, so verse 16, then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the what? Dust of the earth. Okay, remember we talked about how the plagues are tied back to creation. What should dust of the earth make you think of? That's right, Adam, made of dust. Okay, so this is going to be an attack on man, attack on Pharaoh, and it shows God's power over Pharaoh.
Well, my Bible says not the mosquitoes, but lice.
Yes. So a gnat is basically any two-winged biting insect. Okay, so it could have been a whole bunch of things. It didn't have to just be one type of bug. Okay, so it could have been like what we normally think of as gnats, or it could have been mosquitoes, or it could have been lice. It could have been all kinds of different things. Okay, but nasty and uncomfortable is what you should think. I mean,
lice have wings?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think so?
They jump.
You mean like
they
jump from one of the places?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. They have little wings.
They do.
Yeah, as a teacher, I've seen them.
There you go. Maybe they don't fly, but they have wings. I don't know. Okay.
It's gross.
Okay. Okay. So, yes. This didn't necessarily have to be just one kind of little insect. It could have been a combination of tiny little guys to make your... I mean, even if it was just mosquitoes, that would have been awful. Okay. Okay. So, this is similar to the frog plague, and that there's a production of a miraculous superabundance of a critter. Okay, the frogs, I mean, it's just ridiculous how many frogs there were, and here it's ridiculous how many gnats, mosquitoes, lice there are. Okay, but notice these plague annoy and disturb. They make your life miserable, but they are not deadly. Okay, they're not deadly. So Aaron strikes the ground. Verse 17, they did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, okay? Just like he struck the water in plague 1, okay? So in plague 1, he strikes the water. Here he strikes the dust of the earth.
Oh, can I just
yes.
read what I've got here?
Yes.
Without prior warning, the third plague descended on the country.
Yes.
The same absence of warning occurred for the 6th and the 9th plague.
Yes. Yes. Right. So this the third, sixth, and ninth, they're the last ones of each of the trio, right? So Pharaoh hasn't gotten his act together, so here just comes another one. Okay. Yes.
How does this third one though relate to water?
Well, I had that question too, and I thought, well, if they are mosquitoes, mosquitoes breed in water.
Yeah.
Right, but the third plague is of each one is specifically focused on man, like an attack against man himself. Okay, so it's more of, this is just the culmination.
Yeah.
Look, God's powerful over water, I'm going to attack man. God's powerful over land, I'm going to attack man. God's powerful over sky, I'm going to attack man.
Gotcha.
Okay. Okay, so there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land of Egypt. Okay, and then it says, verse 18, the magicians tried with their secret arts to bring forth gnats, but they could not. All right, so here we are at the end of the first trio of plagues, and the magicians are outdone. They can't do it. Okay, Most likely because what magician do you know practices tricks with insects? Okay, not typically, you know, something you're taught in magic school, right? They might have tried really hard, but they couldn't do it. And remember, the magicians can never bring relief to the plagues. They just, whenever they did it, they just added more to the plague. And here they're not even able to do anything. Okay, so they have failed. And they have to admit that this is a miracle of God and not just a trick. Right? Maybe the first two, they could have said, yeah, it's just a trick. It's just a really massive trick. This one, they can't do it. And what do they say? It says, so there were gnats on man and beast. Okay, so these things are everywhere, covering you. Verse 19, then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. What are they saying?
God did this.
Okay, God did this, but it's his what?
Finger.
Not even his what?
Hand.
Not even his hand. This is just his little finger. This is just a tiny act of God. Basically, they're saying to Pharaoh, he's very powerful. This is just his finger. This is not even his whole hand, let alone everything he can do. Okay, you should probably stop and give in. The magicians are done. They can't do this anymore, okay? We're only on plague three. And they cannot copy, and they know that this is God. This is truly God, and that this is just the beginning of what he can do. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Okay, this word for hardened is made strong to resist. His heart was strengthened. His resolve was strengthened to not let them go.
So it's not the same word as
the other one? Nope. Nope. Yeah. Pharaoh is doing exactly what God planned. Again, right? Again, it says, as the Lord had said, just like it said before. Okay, so Pharaoh is doing this exactly what God says, even though he doesn't know it. Questions on that one? Okay, plague four. Can someone read for me? And this is going to be flies, verse 20 through 24.
Now the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants and on your people. Into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will occur. Then the Lord did so. And there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt.
Okay, so this is the beginning. This is plague four, flies, the beginning of the second trio. Okay, and this is going to show that God is sovereign over the land. And we know this is a new plague, a new set of plagues, because God tells Moses, rise early in the morning. So in the morning. And again, he's going to confront Pharaoh outside. And he's actually going to confront Pharaoh pretty close to where he confronted Pharaoh the first time around. Okay, right? Because it says, present yourself before Pharaoh as he comes out of the what? The water. Okay? First plague one was as he was going down. We assume the water is the Nile. Right? And this is as he's coming out, maybe from his morning bath. Right? But it's going to be a very similar spot. So what should Pharaoh think? Exactly. Yes. Okay. So Pharaoh had to realize that Moses was confronting him where plague one started, or at least, you know, in a similar spot. Okay. So he had to know another one was coming, right? And he should have thought, oh, no. Here we go again. All right. God says, let my people go. And remember, we've talked about that. Let my people go is literally send my people out. Okay, send my people out of the land that they may serve me. What's that word for serve?
Slave.
Slave, okay. So this is, Moses just gives Pharaoh a really condensed version this time. Okay. Verse 21, for if you do not let my people go or send my people out, behold, I will send. All right. You don't send my people, I'm going to send a plague your way. Okay. You don't send my people out, I'm going to send you flies. Okay. These flies were various kinds of biting and non-biting insects. I mean, think horse flies. Think all different kinds of flies. Okay. In huge swarms. Okay, so these aren't necessarily just your normal average house fly. That would be annoying enough, right? But, I mean, Kyle got bit by a horse fly and his arm swelled up, you know? I mean, so this could be, you just got done with mosquitoes and lice and gnats, and now you get flies that are annoying but can also bite you as well. What'd you say?
I'd want to move.
So the reason I don't say a lot about that is because there's so much different opinions. So in my MacArthur Study Bible, it says that it has a list of the different gods. I would have to look them up to see what they are gods of. I can look it up really quick. So for the flies.
Yeah, it says eggs. So the larva could feast upon it. It's considered the manifestation of the god.
So Shu was the god of, S-H-U was the god of peace, lions, air, and wind. So maybe because they fly in the sky. But see, this is.
Isis also.
Yes, yes. I-S-I-S, yeah.
U-A-T-C-H-I-T.
So she's the sister and wife of Osiris, who is the god of the dead. She is the goddess of life and magic. See, that's why it's like, because the Bible doesn't specifically say, and unless it's like super obvious, like the darkness is obviously against Ra because he was the sun god and the sun is covered up, I don't mention a lot of them.
I just wondered, because God, the retaliation.
Right.
Right,
and so all the plagues are against the Egyptian pantheon in one way or another, even in just that they can't stop it. All your plethora of gods cannot stop what Yahweh is doing. So yes, I do think it was against specific gods, but I don't know that we can, and I don't know enough about Egyptian mythology, you know, to be dogmatic that this plague was against this specific god. Right.
So they can't be dogmatic.
Right. 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 Right.
My commentary doesn't really know for sure, but they were guessing Keeper, the god of resurrection.
Yeah, so that's a thing. Some of them take it as this is the god of something that's similar to the plague, or this god is represented by whatever it is that the plague is. So good question. But that's why I don't mention a lot of the gods, because I just didn't find anything super concrete, and so then I didn't want to make it confusing. Yeah. Try not to, at least. Okay, so we have flies, all kinds of flies, horse flies, normal flies. Verse 21, for if you do not send my people out, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and on your people and into your houses, and the house of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they dwell. Okay? Flies everywhere, guys.
So, I mean, you mentioned the 3, 6, and 9 being directed more at man. And,
yes.
You know, whatever.
Yes.
I mean, this looks like this is not directed at man. I mean, and the last one, 3, was man and beasts, and this one is...
Well, I'm going to say 3, 6, and 9, well, at least 3 and 6 so far have something to do with dust. So man is created of dust. And not
oh,
a
exactly.
6, they're going to throw the soot in the air, and then that's going to be the boils on man, okay? And it turns into dust that covers everyone.
Not necessarily the 6th,
Right. Well, because all of them affect man, yes. But I'm saying relating back to creation week, it's directed specifically at man. Okay? And remember, this is God showing his power over land. Okay? So here they're going to cover the ground. Right? But okay, first of all, flies everywhere, indoor and out, constantly on everyone, including Pharaoh and his officials. I mean, think there are so many flies that they are on you all the time. Okay, they're going to be in the food you eat. They're just going to be everywhere. All right. They're going to cover the ground. You're going to walk on them. They're going to be so thick that you cannot walk without stepping on flies. Gross. Okay. So God is, they're going to cover the ground, which should remind us of day 2 and 3 of creation when God brings forth the dry land and then makes the trees on the ground. Okay, so he's showing that he owns the land as well as the water. Pharaoh thinks he owns the land of Egypt, but God is going to show through these plagues that no, he is in control of the land of Egypt. Okay, especially because, look at verse 22 and 23. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen. Okay. Does a fly know when it's in one city versus another city? A boundary? No. Flies don't know boundaries. They just... Well, right. But the point is, flies don't know boundaries. They don't care. They just go where they want. Right? But these flies... They knew there were places they couldn't go, right? This is a supernatural event. God controls the land so much that he can make flies be in one area and not in another area. So he is. This is the first time where it specifically says that the land of Goshen is exempt from this plague.
So wouldn't that give more credence to those who do not believe, to those who believe that the only from now on is there a separation between Israel
mm-hmm.
and three.
Yeah. I mean, that, and that's why they think that. Okay. One, because it says your servants earlier when on you and your okay. servants a plague. And then two, because it's not, Goshen is not specifically called out until plague 4.
So the effect of plagues on the Israelites is also a debated topic. At least the first three.
Yes, whether it happened or not. So was Israel affected by the first three or not?
Right.
Was Goshen? We don't know. Yes, is a debated topic. Yes, yes, exactly.
Well, and this one says, I'm your servant, so that could mean, like, similar.
Right.
To the other ones, like, they're maybe Egyptian servants.
Right, exactly.
Because so if it's officials, exact. Then I would guess that that would be Egyptian.
Right, and he, right. Right, and here it does say on your servants again, but then it calls out Israel as being exempt.
Yeah, this
yes.
is the first time it's so specific.
Yes.
It says not in Goshen, FYI.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
Making it seem like it's more of a big deal.
Right, right.
Well, if we had Hebrews outside of Goshen, they'd be covered in
flies. Okay, so this is something I talked to Kyle about, because in verse 25, Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron to come stand before him. We're going to see in plague number, I can't remember right now, hail, okay? When there's this massive hailstorm and everyone that is left outside dies, Moses says, I'm going outside. Why? Because he's not going to die, because he knows he's not going to be hit with hail. So I asked Kyle, I was like, do you think when Moses and Aaron came and stood before Pharaoh, if like everyone's covered in flies and then they're not? I don't know, maybe. Because Goshen is exempt. And when there's this huge hailstorm, Moses is like, I have no problem going outside. I will go outside and pray for God to stop it. Why? Because I'm not going to get hit by the hail. I'm not going to get hit by the lightning, even though every animal and person that was outside died. Okay? Moses does not die. We know that. So I just wonder if, like, this is crazy for all of Pharaoh's officials to see. We're all, like, creepy crawling in flies, and here Moses and Aaron are standing not.
And
I don't know.
If the point is to turn Pharaoh
right.
to who God really is, then that would again show the power that God
right.
has over.
That even the flies in this room know that they can't be on Moses and Aaron, but they're on everybody else. Yeah. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. So, but it's fun to think about. I just thought that'd be a crazy picture. You know, you should see that in Prince of Egypt. Okay. All right. So this is starting, God is starting to build the distinction between Israel and Egypt. Okay. Israel, Goshen, they're not going to have a fly, right? And this is going to culminate, this distinction is going to culminate in Passover, right? Where they are, their firstborns don't die and all of Egypt's firstborns die. Okay, so God is going to exempt the land of Goshen. He controls the land and he controls what happens in each portion of the land. Pharaoh thinks the land is his. Nope. The land is God's. And he gets to even command the flies on where to go. Verse 23, I will put a division between my people and your people tomorrow. This time, oh, sorry, it's at the end of verse 22. In order, why is God going to exempt Goshen? In order that you may know that I, the Lord, am in the midst of the land. Pharaoh, you're going to know this land of Egypt, it's not yours. It's mine. I'm here. Right? I am not a God that is just confined to Canaan. I am the same God here in Egypt, and you're going to know it. And you're going to know it because there are going to be flies all over you and no flies in Goshen. Okay? Verse 23, I will put a division between my people and your people. Okay? Pharaoh, you've messed with the wrong people. They're mine. Okay? You've messed with the wrong God. Okay, it's all about God. The Israelites, remember, do the Israelites really believe? No, but God still claims them. They're important. Why? Because God chose them. Did he chose them because they're great? Nope. He chose them because he chose them. Okay, and they're important because he chose them. So it has nothing to do with their greatness. This is an awful generation. Okay, but God chose them, and they are important because God chose them, and they are his people. Because it is all about God. It is not about the Israelites.
My Bible says in verse 23, I will set a ransom.
Do, 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 do.
Well, actually, it says division, but down below it, there's a little number.
Yeah, I have that as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll hold my people for ransom until you, you're going to pay the price until you let them go. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Mine says down below in the footnotes, redemption.
Okay.
Instead of division.
Yeah.
Mine says deliverance.
There you go. Well, I mean, that's all the same. Right. They're similar ideas. Okay. Yep. Okay, verse 24. Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and the house of his servants in the lands was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. Okay, remember, Egypt is hot all year round. Okay, so the windows would have just been holes in the wall, typically with no covering, right? Because you want the airflow through your house. Okay, so the flies would have had easy access to everywhere. Flies are normal in Egypt, but not in this great quantity. Okay, it would have made life unbearable. One commentator said, people couldn't eat without ingesting flies. They couldn't sleep without flies covering their bodies. They couldn't work for having to swat flies and or because they couldn't see well through the swarms, and their skin was welted with fly bites. Okay.
You would have thought that the people would have been screaming at Pharaoh to get
yes, and
them.
Risen up in rebellion.
Yeah.
And just ushered the people Israel out themselves. Well, that's what happens in the end, right? They give them all their riches. Okay. All right, so it was awful, awful, awful.
You're only on number four.
Yes, we're only on plague four. Because remember, up to this point, yes, it's miserable and awful and gross, but is it deadly? Nope, we're not to the deadly part yet. Okay, so that's why the plagues get progressively worse and more severe. So yes, we're at gross and very inconvenient and awful, but we're not, people aren't dying yet. Or at least not, I mean, sure somebody died, but not in large quantities. Yeah. All right, questions on that section. All right, can someone read for me verse 25 through 32, the rest of the chapter?
Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God within the land. But Moses said, it is not right to do so. For we sacrifice to the Lord our God what is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go a 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far. Make supplication from me. Then Moses said, Behold, I am going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of insects may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and made supplication to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of insects from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people, and not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go.
Okay. Verse 25, Pharaoh calls again for Moses and Aaron. Okay, so we have another plague that's so miserable that he's like, get them away, get the flies out. He says, go sacrifice to your God within the land. Okay, so he's beginning to break. He's at least so bothered by the flies that he partially concedes to their demands. Okay, now again, this is not what they've asked. But he's beginning to give them a little more. Okay, again, it's the sacrifice and not the serve. It's the religious ceremony and not the slave. Okay, he still doesn't want to admit that Israel is going to have a different master. Okay, and he wants them to sacrifice within the land. Pharaoh still thinks he is in control even after all of this. Okay, and he thinks he controls the land. It's still his land, right? And God is trying to say, mm-mm, it's my land. Okay. Pharaoh knows that Moses is asking for more than this, okay? He's not stupid. He knows that this is not what Moses and Aaron have asked for. But, again, he's trying to see if he can get relief from this plague by giving, again, as little as he can. Okay? So, of course, Moses and Aaron are going to say no because this is not what they want. So Moses says no, but he at least says it politely. He doesn't just laugh in Pharaoh's face and say, nice try. Let's just bring on another plague and see how it goes from there. Okay? So he gives three reasons why it won't work. One, he says that Israelite animal sacrifices were abominable to the Egyptians. Okay? Remember, the Egyptians didn't like shepherds in the first place, right? We learned that in Genesis. Okay? So they don't even like Israel in the first place. They don't like their customs. Okay? Two, basically is saying it doesn't make sense to openly practice something the Egyptians hate. They don't like us already. If we're going to do something that offends them outright in the open, that's just going to make them hate us even more. Okay? And verse 27, we must go a 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us. So God has demanded a formal act of worship in a different location, not in the land. Okay? So nice try, Pharaoh, but no cigar. Really, the real reason is the third reason, right? The first two are maybe just Moses trying to be a little polite, okay? Because the real reason they can't say yes is because this is not what God has said. Okay, again, we've talked about this three-day journey, how it's not necessarily literally a three-day, like 3 days, three literal days. Because if you think that all of the Israelites and all their livestock, they're not going to travel super far in 3 days. You know, by the time you get everybody up and moving, you're not going to go a huge distance in 3 days. So 3 days is more of a euphemism for far away. We have to leave Egypt, get away from here. Okay, and we see that Pharaoh understands this because he says in verse 28, I will let you go, only you shall not go very far. Don't go far away. We want to go far away. Okay, you can go, but don't go far away, is basically what's happening here. Okay. Moses is saying, we got to get out. We got to fully leave Egypt. And Pharaoh is saying, no, don't go so far. All right. Verse 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplication for me. Okay, so he does crack further, saying that they can actually leave the land. Just don't go far. But he still says an emphatic I. I will let you go. All right? So he still thinks he has somewhat, some semblance of control over Israel. It is he that is letting them go. He is the one in charge. He's asking them for supplication again, so he's asking for prayer. He knows he is being defeated. Man, after four plagues, I mean, you get the two plagues of insects right in a row. That's pretty miserable. Your whole body is probably one big bite. Okay. Okay, and he asks for prayer for himself. Make supplication for me. It's specifically for Pharaoh. Okay, so maybe this plague really got to him. Moses accepts, but is skeptical. Then Moses said, "Behold, I'm going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again." Okay, so he's calling him out, right? Hey, we've been through this rigmarole before. And you say you're going to at least let us go a little bit, and then you harden your heart and nothing happens, okay? You are deceitful. Okay, again, Pharaoh is deceitful. God is not. God does exactly what he says he's going to do. If you remember back in chapter 5, can someone read for me chapter 5, verse 9?
Let heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words.
Okay, so Pharaoh, this is the first time Moses and Aaron confronted Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," right? And Pharaoh's response is, "You Israelites, you're so lazy that all you can do in your free time is invent this fake God and these lying words," right? So basically, he's calling God a liar, right? That they have to go out and worship him. Now, end of chapter 8, who do we find out the real liar is? Pharaoh, right? God does exactly what he says he's going to do every single time. And it is Pharaoh who is the liar, not God. Okay? Moses promises that the flies are going to be gone tomorrow. Okay? So there's relatively quick relief from the plague. Verse 30 to 32. So Moses does exactly what he says he's going to do. He goes out from Pharaoh, makes supplication to the Lord. The Lord did, again, does exactly what he says he's going to do, as Moses asked, and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. That would have been quite... Now, I wonder if they all fell down dead or if they just disappeared. It doesn't say. Okay. But not one remained. That's pretty crazy that you're covered in flies and then all of a sudden they're just all dead or gone. Okay. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go. Okay, again, that word for hardened is glory or heavy. Okay, so still, Pharaoh wants the glory for himself. His word is not to be trusted. Okay, so he says, he even this time said that they could go out of the land. And once the flies are gone or dead, he says, just kidding. Okay, questions? Plague 4, or whatever, yeah, 4. I'm losing count. Okay, questions, chapter 8. All right, we'll see if we can get through the next two plagues, because they're short for today. So can someone read for me Exodus 9, 1 through 7?
And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. The Lord set a definite time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the sons of Israel, no one died. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go."
Okay, so this is plague 5, and we have death of livestock. Livestock die. Okay, verse 1 and 2 starts out like all the plagues before, right? Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me." Okay, again, let my people go, send my people out, that they may serve me, that they may be a slave to me. But if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, okay, that phrase is new, continue to hold them. Pharaoh is holding on to Israel when he should let them go, right? It's actually starting to get a little ridiculous that he has hardened his heart this far, his people have been so miserable, and he just continues to hold on to what is not his. Verse 3, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock. Okay, this is the first plague that God says is specifically from the hand of the Lord. Okay, so we can see that the plagues are getting worse. And he says that it's going to be a severe pestilence. Up to this point, we haven't had a real plague, like sickness plague. Okay, they've just all been animals, well, Nile into blood, and then animals, right, or critters. But here we have a real plague, and it's going to be for the animals. Okay, so this is for the livestock, horses, donkeys, camels, herds, flocks. So these are all land animals, right, created on day six. So God is sovereign over land, all right? Livestock, domesticated animals were very valuable. This is how you proved your wealth, right? When God made Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wealthy, they were wealthy, and, you know, we talked about what if they had camels, that meant they were extremely wealthy, okay? So this is a big deal that your livestock are going to die because this is where your money is. This is how you show you that you're wealthy. Okay? This is the first plague that says that something is going to die. What do you need, sweetie? Oh. Marion? Okay. Okay, so this is the first plague where we actually have death. Okay, death of domesticated animals is a way bigger deal than death of fish or frogs. Okay, there was death there, but that was more of a result, like a byproduct, right? And the death of the frogs is the end of the plague. But this is your what is valuable to you is going to die. Okay.
And did you just say a minute ago that this is the first one where death is promised?
Yes, yes, exactly, right. Yes. Verse 4, but the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel. Okay, so further distinction between Israel and Egypt. Okay, so this is a very serious plague. It's going to include death for the first time, and it's economically impactful. Okay, for Egypt to lose a good chunk of their livestock and for Israel to lose none, that's going to be embarrassing, a humiliation. You would,
you know,
you'd think plague one would have woke them up, but yeah, yep. Yep. Yes. Right. Yep. Yep. Because of God working through Joseph, exactly. Yep.
Did we mention what this pestilence was?
We don't know. We don't know. I mean, there are theories, but some people say maybe it was anthrax, but I read an article of how that probably is not right. But because any of these, like the boils or whatever that comes next, it might have some sort of, like maybe we could give it a name of what we have today, but obviously there's a supernatural element to it of this is just what God's doing. I mean, it says severe pestilence, so that sounds to me more than they just dropped dead. They don't. It's just a theory. They think that maybe it was an anthrax that was in the animals and then spread to the people and became the boils. I don't know. I say God just did it. Whatever it was, he just made the animals die and then he made people have awful boils.
Like, did they have a disease? They didn't. You just said they didn't drop dead.
Well, I don't know that. Possibly. I'm not sure. I mean, it says severe pestilence, which makes me think some sort of disease that your cow gets sick and dies, but maybe it was that they just dropped dead. I mean, that I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, so we don't know.
My note says that the flies carried anthrax.
Oh. Whoa. I mean, and so the thing is, it might have some grain of truth, maybe, but there is way more to these plagues than just any natural explanation. And I think a lot of these things, trying to figure out exactly what it was, is us trying to naturalize it, make it make sense in our own brains, as opposed to, no, God just did this. Okay. Yes, and God does use natural means, for sure. And he could have used a very specific disease that he gave to all the animals, right? But the Bible doesn't say, so we're not going to ever know for sure. Unless God decides to tell us in heaven someday. Yeah. Yes.
Mine says in verse 6, yes, all the livestock of the Egyptians died.
Yes.
Not one animal belonged to the Israelites.
Yes.
But then 2 weeks later, he's telling them to bring all their livestock. Yes. To the fields of the hills.
Yes. Yes. My pastor would say it's not all without exception, but all without distinction. Meaning, it doesn't mean like every single cow died. It means all kinds. So cows died, donkeys died, camels died. So all different kinds. Because you even have livestock left at Plague 10. Because the firstborn of the livestock even die in Plague 10. Okay? So you have some that live. So it wasn't that every single sheep, cow, horse, camel, whatever died in this plague, but it means that all different kinds of your domesticated livestock and a good chunk of them died. Yeah. Good question. Good question.
Well, because some of them were left and died in the hail.
Yes. Well, yes, exactly. Yep, in the hail, and then also in Plague 10 they die. So we... That's right, because there are horses that die in the Red Sea. Yep. Yep, so you have animals that do manage to survive all of it. Okay, good question. All right, verse 5. The Lord set a definite time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. Okay, so if we remember in Plague 2, we talked about today, God, with the frogs, God allowed Pharaoh to set the time of the relief, right? In contrast, here God is setting the time of the plague. Okay, I allowed you to pick time of relief. You didn't learn your lesson, so here I'm telling you exactly when this plague is coming. Okay, and God's going to keep bringing more plagues until Pharaoh is totally broken. Verse 6, so the Lord did this thing on the next day, exactly what God says happens, when it would happen. Okay, and then again, all the livestock, Diane's question, great question, doesn't mean every single one. Okay, because we know there are still livestock alive for Plague 7 and 10. Verse 7, Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead. Okay, so this is an economic disaster for Pharaoh, even if not every single livestock died, right? Every single animal died. If even just a good chunk of them, that's a pretty big blow to Egypt. And so Pharaoh, you know, he heard God say Goshen is exempt, so he goes and he finds out for himself. Hey, is this really true? Is God really all that powerful? So he is starting to break and believe God. God said it, and oh, I'm afraid it's true. I'm going to go find out, okay? Not even one, right? I wonder if this is where, like, God miraculously kept alive animals that should have died, you know, just from, like, old age or whatever, you know. But no, not even one died. Egypt has been devastated and Israel totally spared. He sends somebody to go find out if this is true, and yet what's the result? But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Okay, again, this is the word for heavy or glory. He still wants the glory for himself. Okay, his hard heart is going to eventually lead to his complete humiliation and defeat. And we see, I mean, his country is being absolutely destroyed. And we've gotten into the more serious plagues, okay? We're starting, and 7, 8, 9 are going to be even worse. And he is still hardening his heart. He still wants the glory himself. But remember that this is God's plan, and God hardens his heart as well. Because God is going to display his full glory and reveal exactly who he is to a watching world. Questions? Plague 5.
Why
All right, I think we have time for the last plague, plague 6. Can someone read for me verse 8 through 12?
Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on men and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses.
Okay, so this is the last plague of the second three. Okay, plague 6. This is going to be boils. Again, remember, attack on man. Take for yourselves handfuls of soot. Okay, you're going to throw it in the air. It's going to become dust, right? Which reminds us of what man is made of. Okay, so this is another attack on man slash Pharaoh. Again, this plague is a transformation of one substance into another. A very small amount of soot, just a handful of soot from the kiln thrown into the air, and it becomes a fine dust that covers the land, right? A small handful of soot doesn't cover the land. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Okay. These boils, the word boil literally means hot or boiling, like boiling water. And then the sores, these were exploding blisters. Okay. So this is awful, awful disease. Okay. This is a possible attack. Okay. I'm going to mention a god here, but keep it very loosely, of Imhotep, I-M-H-O-T-E-P, and he's the Egyptian god of medicine. Okay, so here we're going to have this awful, awful disease that Imhotep can't even begin to cure. Okay, he's the god of medicine. Okay, verse 10, so they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it toward the sky, and it became boils, breaking out with sores on man and beast. Okay, so they do exactly what God told them to do. Verse 11, the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on the Egyptians. Now, this is interesting. The magicians have not been mentioned since plague 3. Okay? Plagues 1, 2, and 3, they were all mentioned because 1 and 2 they copied, 3 they couldn't. They haven't been mentioned since. Why are they mentioned all of a sudden here? They're not going to be mentioned again. Okay? So they're mentioned 1, 2, and 3. Then they're not mentioned. Then here in 6, they're mentioned again. Then after that, we don't hear anything about them again. Okay? Why now? Because it says here that they could not stand before Moses. They are finally totally broken at this point. Okay? Plague 3, they know they're up against powers that they can't even begin to compete with. But here, they are so sick, they can't even come and stand before Moses. They are totally overcome, okay? The power of God is so far greater than their own power that they have now been totally defeated, okay? Another point is, these are the magicians. If anyone could heal themselves, it should be them. But they are so sick, they can't even heal themselves, and they are so sick, they can't even come out and hold court with Pharaoh, okay? That's how powerful God is. Even your guys that supposedly know all the magic arts, right? And should be able to do these amazing things. They're so sick, along with everyone else, they can't even come out and stand. So they've been totally defeated. Verse 12, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. This is the first time that it says what? That Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart. Up to this point, it says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Indicating that Pharaoh hardens his own heart. Okay? But this word for hardened is made strong. Okay? So God is making Pharaoh's heart strong to resist. Okay? Pharaoh should break at this point. But God intervenes and hardens his heart so that he does not. Okay, he strengthens him to resist more so that God can show and reveal his full glory. He did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Okay, God had told Moses all the way back in chapter 3, right, that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And so here we have, for the first time, God intervening and stepping in and hardening his heart. Okay. Questions? Boils, plagues 5 and 6. Yes. Yes. Yep. Quarantine. Quarantine the whole nation. All right. So we will start with Plague 7 on January 7th. And if you can just take a couple minutes and share something that you have learned today with a partner.